Friday, Terra Master, Lamed, Nissen Topshin, Ein Ches, Rebutus to Mir.
Good Chodesh. Bin Zeichen, the Kehillet, Abedi Shiduchim. A chassid once came to his Rebbe with a very long face. Rebbe asked him, what's wrong? He said, panosa, I have no panosa. So the Rebbe said, I've got a very, very simple solution. Just buy yourself two notebooks, and in one of them, whenever you hear a joke, write it in. And with the other one, whenever you hear of a shidduch, write that in. And that way you'll have a notebook full of jokes, a notebook full of shidduchim suggestions, and then you'll have two solid panosas. You'll be a shadchan and a badchan. And that way you'll have no problems with panosa. The chassid comes back a few weeks later with even a longer face. So the Rebbe says, did my suggestion not work? So he said, no. When I say a shidduch, and everybody laughs and says that's a good joke. And when I say a joke, they say to me, we'll think about it for a week and get back to you. The point is, though, as we put to the Shidduchim, one of the most important things is to be very, very careful in Hilchos Lashon Hara. That's really the whole of the next two parshas, Tazria and Metzeva. Already the Bali Musa point out that Tazria and Metzeva, the number of psukim there are to describe Tzoras, is more than almost any other Issa in the Torah. Much, much more than Moshe and the Hilchos Kashrus, which we have in last week's parsha in Shemini. And the Torah itself tells us, Ishomer benegat Tzoras, be careful negat Tzoras, and then the apostle carries on, Zechoyez Hashem also Hashem kechol Miriam, remember what Hashem did to Miriam. That if you don't want to get Tzoras, you have to be careful and remember what happened to Miriam. That means, the whole message of Tzoras is to remind us of how terrible the Issa Lashon Hara is. And the truth is, Issa Lashon Hara is something that many people have learned many times. But as we saw, Salanta himself said, a sheikh needs to learn the halachas of shechita once every 30 days. And people talk a lot more than they shecht. In fact, one could say we shecht people quicker than animals. And therefore, a person has to make sure that before he speaks, he has to know the halachas of Lashon Hara. Before we do the halachas, it's always valuable, of course. The Chofetz Chaim himself points out it many times, there's a very big difference between some Jews nichshol sometimes in Lashon Hara, and that sometimes and someone who Lashon Hara is hefker by him. And therefore, big te'elis in Lashon Hara is just by keep reminding ourselves of Chima Ha'issa, that makes it that it's not hefker by us. There's an amazing Chaim HaKadosh in this week's parsha, unbelievable, powerful Lashon. He says, Ein lecha dovo there's nothing that takes a person away from Hashem more than Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is the most powerful barrier that a person can have between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say that Lashon Hara is one of the things that nifoy mimenu b'olam haba and b'olam hazeh. It's something which will get punished in both worlds. Brought down already that Chazal tell us in the Dorim that Arba Chashuvim Kemeis, there are four people who are considered like a dead person. A Metzeva and an Oni are one or two of the four. A Metzeva and an Oni. Many people already point out that sometimes you hear a story of somebody losing his Panosa. And one can't understand, why should he lose his Panosa? And the answer is because he spoke Lashon Hara. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, he deserves Tzoras, which is Chashuv Kemeis. Since a person nowadays, we do not get Tzoras, so Vidak Shmuchel L'chol HaPochus makes him lose all his money, that he should be an Oni Choshev Kemeis. These Mamori Chazal are not to be taken lightly. To Chofetz Chaim brings that our Shlusha Averus Chamur is Gil Averus V'chastom and Avoy Dezor, and the Chomu Mikulon is what? Is Lashon Hara. That Lashon Hara is worse than all three Averus Chamuris. The Chavis Avavos mentions in Shah Kinnir, the famous Chavis Avavos, many people mention, is that when a person comes to Elam HaEmes, anybody that spoke Lashon Hara about him, he gets their mitzvahs. And any person that he spoke Lashon Hara about, he loses his mitzvahs to them. And that's why, before we say, Psukim Nendosh Shmoneh Esrei, to remind us of our names. Because when it comes to Olam HaEmes, we'll be surprised. We'll see different mitzvahs that we have the Shaychus to and different Averis that we've got. We say, what's going on over here? So with the Shlomo HaKadosh points out that if a person was to be misspoken in such a thing, he would feel greater joy when people speak Lashon Hara about him than when he wins the lottery, as that Lashon he brings. Because a person is zeichet to tremendous success just by the fact, the first has to picture what that means, that somebody speaks Lashon Hara about them, and instantly they're zeichet to tremendous amount of mitzvahs which they never had to work for, which they never been, and vice versa, a person has to be tremendous sadness if Chas Shalom speaks Lashon Hara, what has he lost? Oh, yeah, he brings, yes. Yeah. They say that he brings the whole cheshbon, how the chidush of him, as Rosh Vetuvlo and Rosh Vavaloi, is a Rosh Vavaloi, somebody who spoke Lashon Hara. Okay. Chazal say that somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, his tefillah is not accepted, and his Torah is not choshev in the eyes of Hashem. It's unbelievable. It's interesting to point out that tzavas is not something which comes for somebody who's mechallel Shabbos l'moshon, or somebody who eats treif. Tzavas only comes, that means the only punishment that Shmuel could be offered for the need to establish an entire parsha, two parshas of the punishment is for the essence of Lashon Hara. If a chassid person is mechallel Shabbos, what is it? But the Torah never established, the Shmuel never created the ness that there should be a special punishment for somebody who is mechallel Shabbos. But for somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, Shmuel created an entire new parshas of halachas, of the gebegodim, the gebatim, the geodom, different kinds of tzoras, only for the issa of Lashon Hara. Say with Derech Tvush that the Mitzvah, what does he have to do? He has to cover his face all the way down to his lips. As Shaitzak Shmuel gave a person two guards, his teeth and his lips, to make sure that he doesn't open his mouth when he shouldn't. And Mitzvah, who these guards, so to speak, do not have any effect on him. So therefore he has to cover all the way down to his lips. We have to protect another protection that he shouldn't speak the way he shouldn't. It's a mudaka, it won't go on and on. I'm not going to, but about the chimo is of Lashon Hara that we, Elochel HaPochus, it shouldn't be a hefka. There's a very, very interesting Egle Tal in the Hakdama. It's very worthwhile to go through it. Every time I go through it, it's the Hakdama, the Sochet Shavu Rebbe, the Egle Tal. He says like this, a very powerful word. He brings it from the Zohar HaKadosh. He says that every time a person does a mitzvah, his Yetzer HaTov grows stronger. Every time a person does an aveira, his Yetzer HaRa goes stronger. But he says only if the mitzvah or the aveira was done besimcha. I mean, if a person learns besimcha, his Yetzer HaTov gets stronger. If a person does an aveira besimcha, then the Yetzer HaRa gets stronger. And it comes out that a person can learn all day without any pleasure, without any joy. And at the end of the day, do one ma'aseh aveira with tremendous enthusiasm. And of course, he'll get much more schar than oinish, because then they did more mitzvahs than aveiros. But in terms of which muscle in his body, which part of his neshama became stronger, the answer is the Yetzer HaRa got stronger that day. Because he did the aveira mitoch simcha, and he did the mitzvahs without simcha. It's a very powerful, he goes on there that people make a big mistake, that they don't try and find a geshmak in the learning, that of course that's the ikka, you have to find a geshmak in mitzvahs. Therefore, when a person chas sholem is nichshel in Lashon Hara, but it's with tremendous pain, l'chol ha'pochas is not an aveira done with pleasure, it's an aveira done with tremendous pain. And that itself is a value. It's an important idea from Negev Tal that the enthusiasm of a mitzvah, the enthusiasm of an aveira is what actually defines how a person's going to grow. So I want to go through some of the halachas of Lashon Hara. There's a very nice of Shmuel Homino, Sefer Ikrei Dinim. It's a good way to remember. Ma'aseh, when a person needs to speak Lashon Hara, that is, no, a person could be a chassid shoita, not to, sometimes a person asking him about which yeshiva to send his child, whether they should do a business deal or so and so, a shidduch. A person could be a chassid shoita when the person doesn't answer correctly. A person has to say Lashon Hara when it's to Yelis. the Mishmul Haman in the Seif Ikvei Dinim says is a very good way to remember. The Chofetz Chaim says in a number of places the seven conditions before one speaks Lashon Hara. It's not always easy to remember seven conditions in the middle of a conversation. So he says it's very easy to remember if a person just remembers the words Shtike Yofa. It's best always to be silent. Silence is beautiful. And he says there that if the Rosh Tevis of Shtike Yofa, it's not so easy to remember, but once a person gets used to it, it is easier to get very quickly to go through them. We'll start them. Shtike Yofa stands for Shin. If she is spoiling, and you have to think if there's real damage. That means like this, Chofetz Chaim often points out. Let's say someone says to you, I want to know about the shidduch of a certain boy. And you know some bad information about the boy. The question is it something which is important to be said? Is it something real? Is it something which is a proper problem with a boy? Or is it just something which is a small minus? So he says to the Chofetz Chaim's marshal, he brings, if sometimes somebody says to you, should do a business deal with so and so. And you know that financially he's not doing well. But the Chofetz Chaim says, just because the fact that he's poor does not make him an unreliable business partner. And therefore to say that he's not financially wealthy could be Lashon Hara, because there's no real hezek over here. His question is he trustworthy? And you're answering he's poor. That's not a te'elis, because there's no real hezek in the fact that he's poor. So you have to first think, is there any real te'elis, which is any real damage over here? That is, if it's a lack of tzniyus, so that's something which is valuable to say. Other things are not. The shtika, the shin, that's the shispoin, and the tofis has to be to elas, that you intend to help, not to cause harm, not to cause pain, not because you don't like the person, has to be to elas. The yud stands for yisavei v'derech acher. Can you cause it in another way? For example, somebody asks you about a shidduch, and you can think to yourself, you know the boy is no good. But you know that without going into details, you can say, the shidduch's not about him. Let's see, the person, instead of saying the boy does this, the boy does that, all the Lashon Hara, and you could be besabev that it shouldn't work by just saying the shidduch is not matim, then that is the correct thing to do. One doesn't say the Lashon Hara. The next, the kuf, is kav v'shkeles. You see, builders, they have a plumb line, I think it's called. It's something to keep everything very, very straight. The walls go up straight, they have to constantly measure. It's got like liquid and a bubble inside it. And he says, the idea is you have to be accurate. You're not allowed to exaggerate one iota regarding what you say. That means whatever you know about it, you have to say. But if you have someone to exaggerate, admit that you exaggerate, then the person is being over on this Lashon Hara. The hey, shtika the hey, is that the din shouldn't come out worse than what api halacha. This could be like this, the Lashon, person knows that one of his friend's workers is stealing from him. Right? It can happen. Person's got a business with a few different employees. And what happens is, somebody notices one of the employees is taking from the cash register, or he's taking things home with himself. Now you've got a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to tell the boss that this person is no good, you should fire him. But if you know that not only will he fire him, he'll stop paying him past wages, which are pitin teves b'chuyev to pay him, then you're not allowed to tell him the Lashon Hara. It's a very powerful halacha. You're not allowed to cause more harm than what hapidin teves would be allowed. Another dafki would be labash, if a person wants to buy a car. So he goes up to you, says, can I buy from so and so? Is it worthwhile? So if it's before he's bought the car, and you know that the other person sometimes raises his fees, he makes a lot of money, he can swindle a little bit, he asks for a lot more, you're allowed to say, this person is known to overcharge. But if he's already bought the car, and you say so-and-so is known to overcharge, and you know therefore he won't pay for the car, let's say he hasn't yet paid yet, he's just taken it, and now he'll refuse to pay, which Alpidin Teir is not entitled to, then you're not allowed to say to Lashon Hara. So that means there has to be Alpidin, that what will come out of the Lashon Hara is Alpiyashus Adin. The Yud is Yira Be'atzmo, you're only allowed to say things that you know yourself. You can't say things which you're just guessing or you heard from other people. You have to be 100% sure of the information. If somebody once told you somebody overcharges on his cars, but you don't know the market of cars, you don't know what second-hand cars cost, you can't just say he overcharges. You have to know for a fact yourself, not from other people, that that's the case. And the Pehe is that, can you find plenty of Hechocha? Can you find a way to tell him off that you do not need to come on to Lashon Hara? The marshal, If, for example, you can go to the one who sells or the employee and say to him, look, you're stealing from your boss, if you do not stop, I'm going to have to tell him, or you're overcharging on your sales, and that way to stop the Lashon Hara, then you're mechayev too. I'll go very quickly through it again. That means if a person asks somebody a question in Lashon Hara, then a person's got a chiyuv to say it. A person is obligated to tell all the information which is relevant. But there are seven conditions which can be memorized with shtika yofa. Shin, you have to think, is there real damages here? Tof, are you doing it letoyeles? Yud, can you be mesavev, yesavev, can you do it in another way without speaking Lashon Hara? Kuf, kav v'shkeles, is it exactly accurate? You're not exaggerating anyway. Hey, that nothing comes out of here worse than al pi din hadin. Yud, you can see it yourself, not through other people, that not through hashavas and guesses. And pay, hey, is pleidio yichocho, can you tell him off and avoid speaking Lashon Hara? There's a very nice booklet, a kutras, called Shari Chaim, by Yosef Aaron Roid, here from Manchester. He wrote a kutras on Hilchas Lashon Hara and Chofetz Chaim. And one of the things he points out, very nice kutras, is the Chofetz Chaim Sefer was not written like the normal Halachas Sefer that we are used to in the way Halachas brought down. Most Halachas is set up that tell us all the halachas, different simonim, etc. What's that in that case? What's in that case? The Chofetz Chaim, a lot of his sefer, was written as a counterbalance to the mistakes that people make. If people knew that Lashon Hara was wrong, But what happened was a lot of false ideas that crept up about Lashon Hara. The famous ones were that you're allowed to say Lashon Hara if it's true, or you're allowed to say Lashon Hara if it's public knowledge. These kinds of false ideas that crept up into society. So Chofetz Chaim in his Sefer, what he does is, he goes out in every klal, in every siman, he goes out to uproot each one of these rules. That is, so to speak, the mahalach of the Sefer. If you go through it, it's a very interesting way to look at it. That means the first klal, he goes in the fact that it's true doesn't change it at all. On the contrary, it can be even worse sometimes. The second klal is that pitlosa, don't think that if it's a public knowledge, it's permitted. On the contrary, the fact that you say it in public can sometimes make it even worse. That way, if a person learns Hilchas Lashon Hara, that way, what the Chofetz Chaim is trying to do is uproot misconceptions about Lashon Hara. There's one aspect of Lashon Hara. When we were younger, there was this expression in English, which I haven't heard it in many years, but it's a very powerful nakuda, is give a dog a bad name and hang it. I think that's the expression. I'm not sure, I've not heard it in many years. For me, it was a shock. I was once walking, let's say who you see that, why? And went to dormitories of yeshiva, and there was a bacha there, in a proper answer to yeshiva, was holding a smartphone and looking at something very inappropriate. Like the bacha was embarrassed beyond belief. Hit it straight away, but it takes a second to see such a thing. And I didn't say anything, it was so uncomfortable. The Mashgiach turned out to me after the things and said to me, now you have the possibility of becoming a Ritzeach. I'm going to become a Ritzeach. And he said, yes, you've got the possibility of becoming a Ritzeach. Bochum go through bad kufus, go up, they go down, do silly things. All you need to do is to tell people that so and so has a smartphone, etc. And that way, going back to the English expression, give a dog a bad name and hang it. Meaning that once you've established it, it will be very hard for him to change it. And he said, I'm warning you that if you do that, you'll be a Ritzeach Mamish. He said to me a story that there was once a bocha who had been to cinema. A bocha, that's the bocha. And what happened was, he did it in a moment of foolishness. Months later, when he was already steiging, somebody, without actually meaning so badly, went and publicized it. He said, it ruined the bocha. The point is like this. Many of us go, nearly everybody goes through tkufas in life and have done very, very, very silly things. Sometimes, it's a symptom of something very, very bad, which could take years to do. Sometimes it can be childishness, can be silliness, opportunities which went wrong, etc. Perhaps a person labels a person from that one opportunity, one can actually destroy a person. Can I have another example? Let's say a person's got young couples can sometimes go through a very difficult patch with a newly married. They might go to help, or they might have a fight, etc. All you need is somebody to start publicizing that this couple are going through a hard kufa. And that's enough that will convince them on some level that once people hear about it, it's very, very hard to undo that, to set that boat, set it back and take the boat back into the port. You have that in many, many different ways. People can sometimes do very silly things, they can do very bad things. Now, by the way, they have to do tshuva, whatever they have to do. But if a person mentions it and labels it, one can manage to destroy a person. Often people talk about how people go off the derech for different reasons. This is one of the ways the first Chas V'Shalom wants to help boys off the derech. This is the way to do it, is to catch them at a time when they've done something wrong and publicize it, because that's a guaranteed method to destroy them. Person has to understand people do mistakes. It's easy to be forgotten. The person should look at his own life, how the mistakes the person made themselves. And then think to themselves, no, they made a mistake, let's ignore it, let's forget about it. If life can go on, people sometimes have done terrible things and they've done better in life. That's one aspect of Lashon Hara that the person has to be very, very aware of. There are many different opportunities that a person can sometimes speak Lashon Hara and not be so aware of it. I'll just say a few. It is interesting. I once mentioned that Rabbi Pam said, he gave me a tremendous chizuk, that the most dangerous time in the year is when a person comes home on Rosh Hashanah davening. Why? Because what happens if you come home on Rosh Hashanah davening? So he says, who was the chazan? How was the tefillahs? How were the tekiyahs? What did the Rav speak about? Was it interesting to Rosh Hashanah? It's one of these opportunities where a person can be, without thinking, be very, very nechshon and a person comes home from shul. Who davened today? Who spoke today? A person has to be very, very careful. It's a very dangerous time for Lashon Hara. A telephone, the Rabbi says, is very dangerous. Somebody once told me, I was this morning, that what happened was, he had on his phone, nowadays you can put it in a mobile phone, a person's name, so when he calls you, you can see straight away who's calling you. And he said there were certain people that would call him up. He was in a position where people would call up to complain and to discuss. And you'd have a certain symbol by the end of the name, like a star face or a happy face. Where what happened was, when that number would come up, it would straight away remind him that with this kind of person, he's liable easily to end up speaking Lashon Hara. A person has to think about in his own lifetime, who is there in his life that he ends up tending to speak to Lashon Hara to a lot? And make reminders. It shouldn't be hefker. Another way a person is often family. A person often speaks about one chiluk of his family to in-laws. That means, kavachiva, of course, it's a terrible thing to speak about one's wife or one's husband to one's parents, because that would be just very destructive. But even when a person, for example, spends half the Pesach in one place, half the Yom Tov, or goes away, and then goes back to the other side always want to know, so what was it like in the original side? And these kinds of things are terrible mockery of Lashon Hara, because at the end of the day, a person is always going to say stories about such a situation. The person's aware that there's two halves of the family. A person should say, yeah. A person has to be very... If it's like this, Lashon Hara, unfortunately, for some reason, is something which we find extremely difficult to eradicate completely, to say that a person should never. What a person has to do is to find the places where he's easily nichshol, and once he puts Mason there, it will be easier then to take control of it. And this is one of the places which is very easy. When a person goes to one half of the family and speaks about the other half, it's very easily done. Many times a person speaks Lashon Hara and includes himself. He feels not so bad about it. I went with a friend to Shachris at 10 o'clock. I went with so-and-so. We ended up doing this. The fact that a person includes himself is not a heter in Lashon Hara. Chaim says it many times. There are many opportunities a person feels, since I'm anyway talking about myself as well, so it's not so bad. But that's not a heter at all. If you want to speak about yourself, Chaim is specific about it. But to speak about other people, that's vade issa Lashon Hara. So therefore, a person should not, the fact that a person is including himself in the equation doesn't change it at all. The Rishalmi says that there was a story of somebody, Santa's story, that there was somebody who didn't come to work one day. There was a whole group of people, and there was one person who didn't come to work. And he had a very strange name, this person. And one of the people wanted to remind the boss that he hadn't come to work. So what did he do? When he came to lunch, he said, where is the dalas or something? Where is the pumpkin? And this person's day, we wanted to eat it, so to speak. And this person's day, but it rhymed very closely to that food. And then it reminded him, and that was, this brings an example of Lashon Hara. Many times a person says something, which if he's not careful, can easily cause Lashon Hara indirectly. That is what we have to say over Yom Tov. So, sometimes you have it, over Yom Tov especially, something you can say, so-and-so came to visit me, so-and-so did this and this for me. And you say that to another member of your family, he starts wondering, why didn't so-and-so come and visit me? Or why didn't he do that for me? A person has to be very careful to think ahead of what consequences his words can say. So it's a very powerful thing. A person says, person can say, my parents-in-law sent me this money. Things are, well, that doesn't sound so bad, but who are you saying it to? You say it to a brother-in-law, maybe he never got that money. Or he says, my brother came to visit me, but did he go and visit all his brothers? Maybe not. And then what happens is, it comes to convey tremendous Lashon Hara, b'derech agav. Lemons, by the Yahrzeit of Rosh Shiva, actually here in Manchester, the Rosh Shiva spent so many years speaking about this Lashon Hara, we should be even more of a chiyuv to be makpid on this inyan. But many years ago, by the Yahrzeit of Rosh Shiva, what happened was Matzor Salomon, Shlita, brought out a booklet on the causes of Lashon Hara. He speaks about the fact that without working through the middos that lead a person to speak Lashon Hara, then a person will be very easily nichshel in Lashon Hara. So he quotes there a Rashi, an interesting Rashi. Rashi in Pashka Seitz, when he speaks about the Avir of Moitzi Shemra, he says there that if a person marries a woman and he hates her, then he'll speak about her Lashon Hara. Rashi says, sinno brings to Lashon Hara. That means the underlying irritation and upsetment that people have against other people, that is what causes them to speak so much Lashon Hara. When people don't like others, then if people don't like other people a lot, then what happens is that causes a very lot of Lashon Hara. And he brings that from Chaim Vital, in Sefer Shari Kedusha, that the main reason why people don't like others is because of jealousy. And he brings up Chaim Vital, very interesting, that even though this is totally illogical, but if a person is very, very honest with himself, then this is the mind frame that a person has. And the person walks around and he sees by other people things that he wants. And everybody sees by other people things that they want. Either more money, children, nicer house, better job, more covered. And the person walks around and sees other people having things that he doesn't have. His first thought is that this really, because I want it, really should be mine. A person thinks to himself it ought to be mine. And then, even though it's not logical, if a person is honest with himself, he comes to the conclusion that really it was mine. And this other person has stolen it from me. And since he's stolen it from me, he wants to have revenge. And that is why a person walks around all the time with a desire to revenge himself against all the people that have stolen from him so much. It sounds very mechudesh, but Sefer Shoram and Sefer Perek of Nekios talks about this idea. That means like this. Rashi in Parshas Pinchas says, "Bekano yes kinosi." The word kino, Rashi says, "Benokbo yes nikbosi." Kol loshin kino, Rashi says, comes from the word nekama. Kino is from revenge. It's interesting. It's a halach of Metzora, is that he has to have all his hair shaved. If you look at the Rambam, it's very interesting how the Rambam puts it. He shaves every part of his body, his hair on his head, between his legs, underneath his arms. Even his eyebrows. The Rambam says eyelashes aren't shaved because they're not considered hair, and the hair in the nose is not shaved. But every other part of the body is shaved. And the Rambam points out, obviously, that it's going to be over many soon because one has to keep payers. But he shaves everything off regardless of the consequences. And what's the idea? They do it twice. We do it at the beginning of the Tahara and the end of the Tahara. And the Bali Musa really said a very nice point, is that Chazal say as follows. That how does a person get rid of this tremendous feeling of upsetment to all the people around him? Is that a person has to be svoinim, lo yodu v'leovinu, kein odem negea b'muchem l'chaveyu afilu kem lo inimo. That if all the people of the world would get together and try to take from one person one hair off his body, which Hashem doesn't want him to take them, they would not be able to. hair gives us that moshul in many different ways. Chazal say that every hair has its own unique, its own source of sustenance. A person has to have a musuk that hair is the moshul that Shvuch would befarness everybody exactly at the amount of hairs that he has. A person doesn't know how many hairs he has in his body, a few hundred thousand. But it's not random. A person does not have one more or one less hair than he's supposed to have. And nobody in the world can change that. Right? A person might not care how many hairs he has. Let's get older, one gets less and less of them. But the fact is that however many one has, not one more, not one less. And that is why we tell the mitzvah, you want to get rid of your issur lashon hara, of all that upsetment and the unhappiness that you have, which causes you to constantly speak badly about other people, but mispoining in your hair. We'll get rid of it all because you've not thought about your hair. It's a santa zach, the Gaon says in Mishli, that there's no greater mitzvah than the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, beginning of the second peruk. And because of that, he says, there's no greater aveva than the aveva of dvorim betelim, of speaking rubbish. And he says that the more a person speaks about nonsense, the more a person is drawn to it and desires it. And it becomes like an itch that he describes, and he needs to do it. And as he speaks more, there's a ruach, tumor, which comes upon him that pushes him to speak more. That means he describes that there's different ruchos of kedusha and of tumah. Just thinking, it's a lotion of we come to tzaraas. Tzaraas is be'etzem a boil, a scratch, an itch. One of the very interesting things about an itch is that the more you scratch it, the more you want to scratch it. The doctors tell you the best thing is just to leave it. Don't scratch it. I'm sure many times a person comes home, he wants to speak about something, and you say to him, no, don't speak about what, and it becomes like an itch. And a person thinks, okay, I'll speak a little bit of Lashon Hara, I'll get it off my system, then I'll be finished, and I won't speak any more Lashon Hara today. It doesn't work like that, as the Gaon says in Mishli. The more that a person speaks, the more he wants to. The more you scratch, the more you'll want to scratch. I always try to see if it's possible to connect the message to Shir Hashim, because there's something. I want to point out two interesting zachen. The Chofetz Chaim himself points out that one of the things a person should do when he's about to speak Lashon Hara is he should picture what it's like to have the person standing in front of him and looking at him in despair and unhappiness, how you're slandering me for no reason, and he's begging you, please don't. And the person, so to speak, ignores him, and with tremendous achzorius and cruelty speaks Lashon Hara about him. There's a very interesting statement that Eliyahu HaNavi made by HaKabbal. I have to think about it. It's a very interesting thing. The times of Eliyahu HaNavi, there were Klal Yisrael, and there were many people doing Avodah Zarah, most of Klal Yisrael, it seems. And what does Eliyahu HaNavi say to them? Think about it. A very interesting statement. He says, "If Hashem is the God, if Hashem is the God, luchu acharov, so serve Hashem. V'im ha'Baal hu Elohim, and if the Baal is a God, luchu acharov, go and serve Baal." He says, until when are you jumping on two things? If one, do this or do that. And Chazon Ish, in a couple of places, in his letters, what kind of statement is that? Imagine that, get up and say, look, if you believe in Christianity, go and serve Christianity. If you don't, go and serve. I don't know, Eliyahu HaNavi did not want anybody to get up there and say, okay, so let's go and serve Baal. That wasn't his intention. And the answer is, it goes over here into the Kriches HaNefesh. It's a shame we don't have much time. Chazish describes how a person can have a very lot of emunah, less emunah, and less emunah, till he's got, like a person can have £1 million, 100,000, 10 pounds, a pound, or it could be minus. A person who has a pound and £1 million are both people who have money. A person who has minus is somebody who has no money. A person who has a pound is much closer to the minus than he is to the one who's wealthy. Chazish says a person can have a lot of emunah, a little bit of emunah, until he's so little with the money that he's very close to those who have no money at all. And he says, but when a person sees what he can fall into, that gives him such a pachad that he pulls himself back into another direction. Hashem would say, Voshich olayich ka karmel, your head should be on you like the karmel. And the Mefarshim there say that ka karmel is like the statement of Eliyahu HaNavi by ha karmel. There's a lot of, I would say, wishy-washiness when it comes to Lashon Hara. When a person speaks about not eating shreif, People get a huge shock about it. They get mamish, a pachad. Think, no way, I would never. First, imagine the person would say to you that a piece of meat you ate yesterday had in it chazer. Person would be so distraught for years and years, he would never forget it, maybe for the rest of one's life. And it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we've come to a situation where, so to speak, it's like we hear a thing, do right, and move on. Eliyahu Navi Baal Kama, what did he say to Klai Yisrael? If you're doing that way, think about the consequences. Don't be so wishy-washy about it. Washi Chalach Kama, the person's head should be like the statement of Eliyahu Navi Baal Kama. Finish off Shir Ashir, my Sheves Baganim Chaveirim Makshivim Lekoilech, that you are sitting in the gardens, the friends, we want to hear your voice. And the Medrash says, a very powerful Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash Rabbah says, the Klal Yisrael sits and they staven and they say Shema and Shmona Esra, and if they do it mitoch achdus and mitoch love for each other, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ashmi'ini, I want to hear your voice, Makshivim Lekoilech, we're listening to everything you have to say. But if they don't do it mitoch achdus, but rather each one starts Shema at a different time, and each one thinks he's doing his own Shema, then the Pasuk carries on, Brach Doidi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs away. It's only when a person does be'achdus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in hearing his voice. It's interesting, there's a Radal on the Persian, the Medrash Rabbah, and he says that's the Mekor, that before davening, many people have the Midrash to say, and the Mitzvah says, Va'avta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Because without Va'avta L'Reacha Kamoicha, a person cannot be Zecher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kabbalah Solba HaShvab, it means meaningless. The Gaon says in the Tifa word, the Gaon says, as we mentioned, that the Iker reason why there's so much hatred and jealousy is a lack of Emunah. Right? The fact that people are jealous, people feel that somebody so is taking what I have, somebody's taking got this, got that. That lack of amunah and bitochen that people have in Hashem and makes them so upset with what they have, which also causes lashonah. The person is unhappy in the situation, the person is not sumech b'chalkoi, that also causes lashonah. So when the person doesn't have that, then what happens is he comes to speak lashonah. So says the Gaon, that's why before we say Shema, which is the Yisod of Emunah, in order not to be Seisa ourselves, we have to have V'Avta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Because if a person has no V'Avta L'Reacha Kamoicha, he obviously has no Emunah. So the point is like this, we finish off Shir Ashir by Sheves Bagadim, we finish it off, we say Chaveirim, when your friends, the Makshivim Lekoilech. Then Hashmi'idi, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to listen. But if not, Brach Doidi, Hashem is not interested. And we finish off, what's the last few words of Shir Hashim? On the mountains of Besomim. Why is Yerushalayim called the mountains of Besomim? Because they used to bring the Ketoros. The Ketoros was brought on the Beis HaMikdosh. And the Ketoros was made out of Besomim. So Hori Besomim refers to the place where the Ketoros was sacrificed. Why only do we mention the Hori Besomim? Many Korbanos were brought to the Beis HaMikdosh. Why is the Ketoros singularly mentioned over here? The last two words of Shir Hashim, Hori Besomim, the mountains of Besomim. Why are those two words mentioned? Answer. Chazal tell us, why was the Beis HaMikdosh destroyed and not being rebuilt? Because of Lashon Hor. Ketoros is Mechapa, says Gvoa Numa, on Maisel Lashon Hor. Ketoros is Mechapa for the Issa of Lashon Hor. Chofetz Chaim reiterates again and again that until we are able to get rid of the Issa of Lashon Hor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not build the Beis HaMikdosh. So we remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hori Besomim, bring us back the Kapara of the Ketoros, that way we should have a Kapara of that terrible Aveir of Issa of Lashon Hor, and then we can come back to Hori Besomim, to the mountains of the Ketoros, with the Kapara of Issa of Lashon Hor. We should be zeichet, we shema nafshenu, al kovega v'rega, shodem chistim piv l'shenoi, every time a person shaylet himself, he gets chal that we cannot possibly imagine the tremendous chal. We should be zeichet to it, and thereby be zeichet to go shlem mehu v'amein.